This is People First Radio On Demand, podcasts, streaming, and MP3 downloads, available when you want to listen at chly.ca and at the People First Radio website.
CHLY 101.7 FM, Vancouver Island. On the web, www.chly.ca.
It's all too familiar. Fault lines written by tongues bitten by silence. Thoughts formed we weren't searching for violence in our questions, our suggestions. It's all too familiar. What was she wearing? Was she walking alone? She shouldn't have drank so much. She should have been more careful. She like it was her fault. Like gender violence isn't a man's issue. Like men can't help themselves. Like the responsibility for one's own actions doesn't fall on one's own shoulders. Like men don't have the power to change how men act. And I remember as a young teen learning the facts. One in three made me sick. How could men like me do this? They couldn't, I thought. They couldn't. They must be monsters. They must be monsters. Monsters in the masks of men. Monsters in the masks of men. Rearrange their faces until I can no longer see myself in them. Monsters. And I remember going to a party in East Vancouver and seeing a patch on my friend's jacket that said, "Stop rape." The message so clear, so inarguably simple, and yet it left a bad taste. Because it jarred me from my place of comfort. Because it reminded me of the reality we all face. And that initial reaction, my initial reaction, was me choosing silence, therefore allowing for violence. And that was a clear case of the culture of rape. And I remember in the dressing room cheering along as a teammate proclaimed that in victory we had raped the other team. Or in the lunchroom when my boss made a sexist joke and I said nothing. Or yesterday, when I pulled on an article of clothing and referred to it as a wife beater. This culture of violence touches us all. And by dismissing perpetrators as monsters, it allows us not to analyze our own actions. Men, take your masks off. Men, take responsibility. Men, open your mouths wider. Show more than your teeth. There was a softness in your throat waiting to be freed. Men, we are responsible for the vast majority of violence. Men, it's an epidemic. Men, don't think that it has to be this way. Men, if you could make the world safer for the women you love, for all women, children, and men, wouldn't you? Men, you can. Men, we need you to be courageous. To speak up and to be more than a bystander. Men, put your masks down. Men, let's look each other in the eyes. Men, let's talk.
This is People First Radio. Performance poet, community builder, change agent. Those are the words Victoria poet Jeremy Loveday uses to describe himself on Twitter and Facebook. And recently, with one YouTube video, Loveday has drawn on all three of those callings. We opened this segment with audio from Jeremy's spoken word video message, Masks Off, a Challenge to Men. It's a passionate call to action from a man to other men to end sexual violence against women. The video has been viewed over 12,000 times as of October 3rd, 2013. We're joined on the phone now by Jeremy Loveday.
Welcome to People First Radio, Jeremy.
Hi, thanks for having me on.
Jeremy, your video, Masks Off, A Challenge to Men, is a clear challenge to men on the issue of violence against women. Why did you make the video to begin with?
Well, I originally wrote the poem for Walk a Mile in Her Shoes, which is a fundraiser and awareness raising event for the Women's Sexual Assault Center in Victoria, BC. And so when I wrote the poem and I performed it there, I saw that it got quite a reaction from the men in the audience, and it started creating a lot of discussion, and I really wanted to give it a chance out in the world. And to so I worked with the filmmaker Mateus Clement, and we made that that little film, and we put it out into the world just to see what kind of discussion we can stir up.
Tell us more about the key messages that you're giving to other men in this on this particular issue.
Well, I think the key message is that gender violence is a men's issue. And it's a men's issue because it's everyone's issue. And as men, we need to look at our lives and the language we use and our actions and maybe check our privilege and see what role we play in allowing gender violence to continue and allowing the culture of violence to continue and to be normalized. So I think that's the message. And I think that, you know, the first way to do that is we need to talk about it. And I think so that is the key message, that it's gender violence is a men's issue and that as men we need to talk about it.
There are concepts like it was her fault or men don't have power to change how they act. Where do these, from your perspective, where did these ideas come from to begin with?
Well, I think, you know, the parts at the beginning that, you know, when we essentially, you know, at the beginning, I'm talking about victim blaming. And when, you know, when we ask questions like, oh, what was she wearing or was she drinking or those kind of things, it immediately puts the blame on the victim and not the perpetrator. And it allows, really, I mean, it causes shame for the victims and allows us not to look at what is this culture of violence, this culture of rape, and how are we a part of it?
You ask in your performance piece, how could men like me do this? They must be monsters. Tell us more about the importance of that question for all men and the whole dynamic of asking that question. How could men like me do this?
Well, I think for me, when I first learned about this issue, I was, you know, I was in high school, and I remember, you know, as a teenager, and I remember learning the facts 1 in 3, and I had a lot of trouble with reconciling those figures, those stories, with my own sort of budding manhood, and also with the good men that I'd known and grew up looking up to, and to think that, you know, my gender could be responsible for this, I had trouble reconciling that, and I thought to myself that, you know, they can't be people like me. They can't be men who are trying to be good men. So I thought, you know, my initial brain was like, no, they must be monsters. They must be different from me. But by thinking that, it allows, you know, it allows us not to see that we are part of that culture of rape and that culture of violence that we live in. And if we're not thinking critically about it, then we're letting it continue. And so I think, you know, for the most part, people who are violent they're normal people who are caught in a cycle of violence and a culture of violence. And I think that's why I'm asking that. That's where that question comes from.
This message, stop rape, which you saw at a party, it was a patch worn on the jacket of one of the men at the party. In the video, you said it, quote unquote, left a bad taste. Tell us more about that experience and what that really means.
Well, I was just at a party, and then, you know, I felt that, you know, from my place of comfort and privilege to have that message injected into my evening, that was, you know, unsettling, and it left a bad taste. And the reason for that is because of my comfort and my privilege, and that's exactly what that message was aimed, you know, that's what it did its job, essentially, and it stuck with me that it really kind of sickened me that was where my brain first went, because it is, the message is so inarguably clear and so simple, and it's something that, you know, it shouldn't, you know, just the idea of thinking about, you know, rape, it just shows that, you know, these things are a taboo, and that just shows exactly why we need to be talking about it. And yeah, essentially that, you know, that's one time in my life when I really identified how this culture of rape has, you know, shown up in my own life and in my own actions.
Now, Jeremy, your call to action, and I've been checking this video periodically over the last few days, it's generated over 13,000 views as of this morning. and many positive comments. I certainly want to acknowledge that. But there's a couple of less supportive comments that I found just in looking through the, let's say, the most recent 10 or 20 comments. And I'm going to read them out to you. The first, men don't need to take off their masks. People need to change, and good luck with that one. And here's another one. Please provide your references for those numbers, and then I'll believe it. If you do that, I'll give you numbers showing that domestic violence is at least on equal footing for men and women. Jeremy, tell us more about the comments that have been shared online and what you might have to say about them.
Well, when I wrote this poem, I took a lot of time in self-reflection and in research, and I really, you know, I needed to know that this is something that I can stand behind 100%. And, you know, a lot of these comments, they've just showed me that I really can. And like, for example, you know, the comment about, you know, people, men don't need to take their masks off. People need to change. Well, people do need to change. And the first, you know, step towards change is to acknowledge that there's a problem. And then we need to talk about it on a broad scale and on a personal level. And that's what the call to action is. So, I'm sorry that they're a little cynical. And then the other one that you mentioned, you know, with the stats, a lot of the negative feedback I've received has been from people who I think are men's rights activists. And for the most part, I figure if I'm ruffling their feathers, then I'm probably on the right track. And men, you know, men do need to be meeting and discussing men's issues. That is very important. But those discussions cannot be led by misogynists. And for the most part, that's who these men's rights activists are. You know, we need activists towards, you know, a more positive manhood and a less violent sense of manhood. But that cannot be led by men's rights activists, essentially. And, you know, so I don't think that a lot of the comments, you know, and then the other negative comments that I've received have been, well, men suffer too. And, you know, that's true. And I'm not, you know, men do suffer, and I'm not trying to diminish that at all, that men suffer from violence. But the fact is I think most violence that's inflicted upon men is inflicted upon men by other men. And so it's the same culture of violence in that way, and we need to talk about that too. But that wasn't the topic of my poem.
Tell us more about or give us a little bit of a sense of the vast, I would say vast, outpouring of support that you've received.
I mean, I think mostly what it shows is that, you know, men are ready to have these tough conversations. And, you know, I think there's a bit of a crisis in manhood, and I think that men are ready to face up to it and to talk about these things. And that's the response I've really taken to heart, is the people who have reached out, people on the front lines who are telling me, you know, like, thank you. This is a reflection of what I see in my day-to-day life. And then other people who are, you know, and then I've gotten lots of support from women as well, who are really encouraged to see men having these discussions. And yeah, so far it's been very positive. And I've been a little overwhelmed by it at first, by you know, all the response. But I'm really thrilled that I can lend my voice to this discussion and add to, because there's already amazing things happening. There's, you know, in Victoria, where I'm from, there's, you know, the anti-violence project at UVic and the Men's Action Collective and places that are, you know, working towards a more positive anti-violent manhood, and the White Ribbon Campaign. There's lots of great things, so I'm glad just to lend my voice to that.
Jeremy, is there anything else you'd like to add to our conversation in the last half minute or so here?
Well, thanks for having me on, and thanks for your interest. And I encourage people to look up the amazing things that are already happening. You know, I just wrote a poem, and there's people who are doing this amazing anti-violence work every day. And you know, if people want to be adding to that, their help would, you know, is always much needed, I'm sure.
Jeremy Loveday, thank you very much for taking the time to join us. You're a very talented poet, and I'm really glad that you were able to take the time to speak with us.
Thanks for having me on.
Jeremy Loveday is a Victoria-based performance poet, community builder, and change agent. You can find him online at Facebook and on Twitter. His video message is called Masks Off, A Challenge to Men, and it's posted on YouTube.
This is a People First Radio podcast. People First Radio is an initiative of Columbian Center Society in partnership with Radio Malaspina Society and produced at CHLY Community Radio in Nanaimo, British Columbia. The opinions expressed in this interview do not necessarily reflect the opinions of the partnering organizations. Visit us online. Just Google People First Radio to find our webpage.